And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the Quakers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. It's important that he was crucified, and I want us to understand that. That's a very important point. But the most important point is what we're getting ready to hear about now. He said, Jesus who was crucified, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. So one of the things that Jesus would often tell the people is he would give them a prophecy. This is what's going to happen. In the third day, I'm going to be crucified. And in the third day, I'm going to rise again. So he said, he is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Now, here's a couple points that I want to make in the course of this discourse today here. These particular scriptures in the 6th verse and the 7th verse, it says, he is not here, he is risen. Isn't that wonderful? And the implication of that, what it means to us, what it meant to Mary, the Marys that were there, what it meant to the whole world. He said, the next thing that he said, after he's risen, he gave the clear understanding, gave them the clear understanding. You can look if you want to, but he's not here. He said, I want you to come in, come and see, and then he said, go and tell. And I want to use those two particular points, that this is a story that must be told. This is a story that is important to the whole world. It's the story that must be told. So if you're going to give a title to this discourse, it will, the story that must be told. So he said, come and see. I want you to see. I want you to look. I want you to see what was in the tomb, and I want you to go quickly and tell. So that is the point that God wants to make with all of us. Our responsibility is to go and tell the gospel story, the good news of Jesus Christ, the hope, that there is hope in Christ. It doesn't matter what your situation is, what your circumstances are, it doesn't matter. What matters is that there is hope. Whatever your problem is, whatever the greatest problem that you've ever had in your life, there is hope in Christ. If he can raise the dead, if he can come back alive, then he can do anything. There is nothing too hard for him to do. And he says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you in Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples' word. So they were obedient in what God required of them. Do you realize that this is history? This is not some legend, and it is not some fable, it is not some act of fiction, but I want us today, if you can open up your mind and see how this connects with history. We don't know about George Washington, and there's no one there alive today that was there alive when George Washington was the president of the United States. Nobody's there, right? So we go, basically, the reason that we know that Abraham Lincoln, the various people that were in our history, those individuals had an impact on us. They had an impact on our lives. They had an impact on how the Constitution and all these things were set up. But there is nothing that we can go back to and say that the person that was an eyewitness there is still alive today. Well, in the same way with Jesus Christ. But I want us to understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was just as important and just as much a part of history as George Washington, even more so actually. It was George Washington and those people that are in the past. And the reason I want to make those kinds of points, and we think about Martin Luther King. He was a man of that affected the majority of the whole world. I mean, the whole America, particularly those that are African Americans. He affected all of us in some kind of way or another, all of us that are living here. And so there are some that are here that knew about him when he was alive. You can tell us the stories that how he affected your life. But I want to say that Jesus Christ is more important than any historical figure. And I want us to understand that when I talk about historical figures and I talk about Jesus Christ as being a historical figure, I want us to connect that. I want us to reconnect it. Because I think in some kind of ways we disconnect the fact that Jesus was a historical figure, that he actually came down on this earth, and we kind of disconnect it and disassociate him because we lift him up to a point where he is the Son of God. He's this great one, and he's this mighty one. And all of those things, adjectives that we use for him, are accurate. He is all of that and more. He's exceeding abundantly more than what we can even imagine in our minds. But there was something, there was a part of him that was like us. He was born of a virgin. He grew up, he was a child, he grew up to be an adult. He went through the processes of growing up. He went through the growing pains that we went through, that we go through. He did all that. And I want us to keep that connected to who he is. There's a scripture that talks about the man Christ Jesus. He wasn't just the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. And when we make that connection, then he's relatable. He has a story to tell. He died on a cross for you. He died on a cross for me. And that's relatable. He came down here on the face of this earth to show us how to live like him. He wanted to go through all the temptations. The scripture says very plainly that there is no temptation. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. So can you imagine what you're going through right now? The temptations that you had over the last year, the last week, your entire life. Do you realize that Jesus was tempted in every point, just like you are, yet without sin? So what does that mean? That means that Jesus Christ has the power and the ability to keep you living right as well. If he was tempted, he understands you. He understands what you're going through. He understands the problems that you have. He understands, and he wants you to relate to him. And so why do we have the Word of God today? And sometimes I think about this quite often, that here I am a man, just like you all. I'm a human being. I go through the same kind of issues, the problems that you go through. But the Lord gives us something. He reveals and he manifests his Word and himself through preaching. And so that we can take the Word of God, this book here, we can take it, break it off, and then feed it to the people and give you an understanding that God can do something for you. He can do whatever it is that you need to do. There's hope in the resurrection. That's what it's all about. All right, so I want to go a little farther here. He tells Mary, you go, come and see, and then you go and tell. Once you have a personal experience of what has happened and what has taken place, then you go and tell somebody about that. You go and have everybody have a good understanding of what God has done for you. Now, I want to say this to you. You have a story to tell as well. When you look at the Bible, when you look at all the things that are going on in the Bible, they really are just stories. It's the Word of God, of course, but they're stories. They're vignettes. They're little episodes of people's lives and their encounter with God, their encounter with others, their encounter with the devil. And those are the three things that we're going to have to deal with. We're going to have to deal with our encounter with God. God is going to appear to every man. Scripture tells us that. He's going to appear to every man, and he's going to teach us some things. All right? And so that's very important for us to get an understanding that God is going to be able to, that God is able to do that. That our attention to man, our attention to our connection with God, our connection with man, our connection with with the devil. So those are the three things that we have to deal with as individuals, as humankind. All right. So, but I want to say in this, even though the Bible is vignettes of people's lives and how they interacted with God and with the things that are around them, we have the responsibility as well. We're going to interact, and we have the responsibility to tell our inaction. What's your story? Have you ever said that to somebody? You've seen somebody on the street. You've seen somebody going through some difficult things. You say, I wonder what their story is. Well, you have a story as well, and our story is to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a compelling story. I can't tell your story. You can't tell mine, but the Lord has given you a story, and it affects more than just you. I think sometimes the things that we go through, the Lord gives us an understanding of the things that we go through. We have an understanding of what to do so that we can help somebody else. All right? I want to read a few other scriptures. I want to read a scripture in 1 John, and I want to read starting at the first verse there, 1 John. And what I'm trying to establish here is that Jesus was not just something that happened. It wasn't just an experience that happened way back. It was experience, it's history, it's living history. His resurrection affects us just as much today as it affected them back then. I want to go to 1 John, I want to read a few scriptures here, and it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of God. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life, that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So here is John, an individual historian, you might say, as far as the scriptures are concerned. He's a historian. Basically what he did is he says to us today, we're reading, this is our textbook, this is our history book, you might say. This is the history book of telling us all about what happened in a spiritual context, what happened in a literal context, and how it affected the world. So John is saying here that from the beginning, that which is from the beginning, so we understand when we go all the way back to Genesis, that he's talking not just about Jesus, but he's talking about, and I want you to understand when I make this distinction, he's talking about the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, the scripture tells us, right? The Word was God, and the Word was with God. All right, so it says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. So in other words, this is something that was relatable to these individuals, these historians, you might say. This is the greatest event of history, and here are the people that are recording it. And he said, I saw it, I heard it, I touched it. So Jesus was not just something that was not attainable. This was something that this man touched. This man heard. This man witnessed. He had a firsthand witness. Now, none of us have seen him that we know of. We haven't seen him in the natural sense, in the literal sense. But it's important for us to know that we can hear him. We can hear his voice. He's just as real to us. We can feel him. We can feel him when he comes into our heart. Something changes. When the Lord saved me, something changed. I felt something. It wasn't just this nothingness that took place. It was something happened. All right, so we have to understand that this is John's story that he's telling, that I was there, I witnessed it, I had an understanding of what was going on, I understood that, and now I touched it, I heard it, I felt it. And now what I'm doing is I'm passing it on, I'm telling you about it. And so today, over 2,000 years later, we're preaching about this historical event that happened that affected John, and it affects us as well. So I want us to understand that we have a story to tell as well. John was telling his story, how it affected him. So I believe what the Lord wants us to do, there are sometimes, I feel this as a pastor, as a preacher, I've heard people, and I've said it actually myself prior to coming until I had better understanding, the Lord had given me better understanding, that sometimes we want to say things like, oh, well, you know what, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor, so I don't need to go out and witness. But the Lord gives us the same commission to go out and tell our story. We're not preaching per se. You're not telling them about the scripture. You're just telling them your story. This is the story of your encounter with the Lord. Now, I want to read another scripture. This is about a blind man who asked Jesus to heal him, and Jesus healed him. All right? And then what happened, this is John, the 9th chapter, and I want to turn to the 20th. This is St. John, the 9th chapter, and I want to turn to the 25th verse. I'm going to read that for a minute. 9th chapter, verse 25. Bear with me here while I get that for us. And it says here, I want to start a little bit further, because a little bit up above that, because the Pharisees, after Jesus had healed, this man was born blind. They went to his parents. They were trying to get evidence as to whether or not this man had sinned. Who sinned? Who caused you to be like this? His parents told him, you know what? Who healed this man? Who healed this man? And he said, well, he's of age. Go and ask him. So the parents were trying to protect their own skin, so to speak. I just want to kind of give us the background of it. And then they said, they came to him on the 24th verse, and he says, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. That was his story. He could not elaborate on Jesus. He could not elaborate on who Jesus was, how he was, all those kind of things. But he could elaborate. He could tell them his story. It was a simple story. He said, I don't know about it. I don't know all these things. I don't know all the doctrine, and I don't know all the information that everybody else knows. I'm not as smart as you Pharisees and know all the scriptures. But what I do know is that I was blind and now I see. That the Lord did something for me. This man, whoever you want to call him, whatever you want to say about him, I was blind and now I see. Now that's important for us to get a hold of, because that was a simple story. One scripture. He said, I don't know. I can't tell you all the other things. So there are going to be some times in your own experiences that you're not going to be able to elaborate on why and the wherefores and all those kinds of things. The only thing that the Lord wants you to do is tell the greatest story that has ever been told. How that resurrected life, how the healing power, the virtue of Jesus Christ came in and changed you. Now you're a different man. You're a different woman than you used to be. Why? Because all I know is that I once was a sinner, and now God has delivered me. God has saved me. That's wonderful. That's what God wants us to tell. That's the story. And what is that story about? It's about the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. He came and died on the cross, and he rose again so that you might be saved, so that I might be saved. And that's the story I tell. So I can say to people, well, you know what? You can talk to atheists, you can talk to agnostics, you can talk to all kinds of people that have all kinds of ideas. You don't have to defend your position. All you do is tell your story. This is my story. They can't take that away from you. They can't determine that what you're saying is a lie, because I'm not trying to elaborate on the scripture. I'm not giving you all this, and I'm telling you the story. So he said to them, come see. So in other words, you come and see personally. You have a personal understanding of what happened. This is what he's saying to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary when they went to the tomb. This is what the angel said to them. You come and see. I want you to see this personally. I want you to have a personal understanding. Now when you have a personal understanding, I want you to look around the cave, look around the tomb, and make certain that you don't see, that you don't see him. He's not standing in the shadows over here. I want you to come. I want you to have a personal understanding of it. And then I want you to go and tell what you saw. That's all I want you to tell. I want you to elaborate. How did it happen? How was he resurrected? I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that it was by the power and the grace of God. I still believe that deep in our hearts. We have to understand that. That's the story. That's the historical facts. Those are things. This is not something that we disconnect from history. These are people. These are people. Mary Magdalene is a person just like you. She had problems. She was not a good woman. One was a prostitute. One was a woman that was possessed, and the Lord had delivered her from 7 demons. These are people just like, had problems, issues just like you and I. But Jesus did something. That resurrected power, and that when he came out of that grave, there was something that he did for you. There was something that he did for them. And this is all part of our current and common history. All right? Our living history. And I want to reiterate that point. That history is not something that's dead. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. He's not here. He's alive. Isn't that wonderful? I thank the Lord for that. Wonderful, wonderful. All right, let's go a little farther, because there are many stories to tell in the Bible. Remember the Lazarus, and remember the situation that he went to Martha, and he said, I'm going to stay here. They had sent for Jesus because Lazarus was sick, and the Lord tarried there. If you read that, I believe it's in the 11th chapter of John. You read that for the sake of time. I'm just going to paraphrase it. The Lord said, I'm going to stay here, he said, because Lazarus sleepeth. And then his disciples said, well, Lord, if he sleepeth, he does well. He said, no, he's dead. So he purposely, there's a few things that I want us to understand. The Lord purposely delayed his coming to Martha and Mary because he wanted to make certain that Lazarus was good and dead. All right? And that's basically what he says. I'm putting it in my words, but that's basically what the Lord said. So he wanted to make certain that Lazarus was dead. And then after Lazarus was dead and he had been in the grave for 4 days, he came to the city where Mary and Martha, and they heard that Jesus was coming. Martha jumps up. She runs to the Lord and she says, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. And she says, so in other words, Lord, I know you could have stopped him from dying, but you know what, saints? I want us to get a hold of something. Not only can the Lord stop something from happening, but he can reverse it when it does happen. In this particular situation, God wanted it to happen. He wanted Lazarus to be dead. And here's the point. Because he said to Mary, and when Mary said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. And he said, your brother shall rise again. And she said, well, Lord, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection. He said, no, I am the resurrection. I am the life. All right, so here's the point that we want to make in that. When the Lord says, I am the resurrection, this is something that's different. He's not saying that I can do this. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. So here is something that has happened. And I want to say this because it gives us hope in our great Redeemer. It gives me hope to say that even though something seems like it's completely dead, there's no hope, nothing that we can do about that particular thing, you know, God has the ability to reverse it. God has the ability to turn that situation around and make it like it never happened again. And so what did he do? We can read the story. He said, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Isn't that wonderful? Now, what does that mean? Does that mean in the natural physical death? It means that as well. But it also means that sin is a separation. Remember what happened with Adam and Eve? The Lord said, don't eat of that fruit. All the trees of this garden you can eat of, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat it, and you shall not touch it. For in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. So death is a separation. When we talk about natural death, it is a separation of the natural body from the spirit. Now, spiritual death is a separation from our spirit from God's spirit. All right? So he said, ye shall surely, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The only way for us to reverse that situation of this natural spiritual death that took place is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. The only way for us not to die again, for the only way for us to be reunited with the Lord is that Jesus had to die on a cross and then he had to be resurrected. Now, what does the resurrection tell us? It tells us that there is power. There is power over death. There is power over sin. There is power, whatever kind of power you need, that power is in the resurrected life. When he says, I am the resurrection, I am that power. I am that life that you're talking about. So he goes on, and I want to drop down a little bit and read a little bit here. And we'll drop down to the 38th verse here, and it says here, I'm not on the right chapter here. Hold on. Let me get to the right chapter. It says, the 38th verse, it says, and Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, come into the grave, and it was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. And Jesus says, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead for 4 days. Now, you know what? If somebody's been dead and in a tomb, they've been grave wrapped in grave clothes for 4 days, there is no physician that can bring them back to life. We think about this coronavirus that we're dealing with. I believe if the physicians could do something about it, they would. If they could reverse it, I believe that they would do so. But they can't. I believe that if we could reverse death, many of us would prolong our life. I think about this sometimes. There's never a good time for a person that you love to go. But the Lord understood that. And so the Lord says here he's been dead for 4 days. Martha says he's been dead for 4 days. The Lord says, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. You know what our problem is? My problem, your problem, all of our problems generally is that we don't have the faith to believe that God can do the impossible. We can talk about it. It's easy for us to talk about it. It's easy for us to discuss one with another. But it's very difficult for us to believe it. And you know what we do, what we need to do in the time, and I believe the Lord puts us in this particular time right now. We have to believe that the Lord is able to do what he says he's going to do. Now, with this coronavirus, we are all afraid. There is a certain amount of fear that I believe all of us have. A certain amount of concern that we all have. We know this is a very serious thing. But you know what? Our faith has to be in the Lord. We have to be in a position and a situation where we say, Lord, doesn't matter what it seems like. Doesn't matter how hard it is. I'm not going to live my life in fear. I'm going to live my life in wisdom. I'm going to understand what you would have me to do. And I'm going to resist. We sing a song sometime. I will resist all doubts and fears. I will believe and simply trust. It talks about, can I have faith? Yes, Lord, I must. We've got to reject, it says, reject all doubts and fears. We've got to reject that. We have to understand. But I understand because I'm going through what you're going through. Sister Margaret brought out something about her daughter saying, you know, about the website. Saying that if you are affected by the coronavirus, please call us. Well, all of us are affected by the coronavirus. There's not a person on the face of this, well, in America that I'm aware of, that's not affected in some kind of a way by the coronavirus. But let me tell you, there's not a person that's not affected by the blood of Jesus Christ. If we accept it, we receive it, our faith in the Lord can reverse this thing, even in our own lives, even in our own spirits, the Lord can reverse this coronavirus, and he can reverse whatever it is, whatever problems that you're facing right now. Whatever issues that you're having in your life right now, God can do something about it if we believe. He said, said I not unto you, that if thou shalt believe, thou shalt see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone. And sometimes we have to ask the Lord, take away this stony place in my heart. Maybe there's something. You know, I believe most of us examine our lives on a regular basis, and we ask the Lord, what is it that you would have us to do? And we examine our lives. So the Lord tells us to take away the stone from the place where the dead lay. And the Lord lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. That was Jesus' story in this situation. He knew that the Lord, that God was doing it. But he spoke so that everybody around him could understand his story. That there is this connection that God has with Jesus Christ. Now, this is something nobody had ever seen before. Here is where the Lord says, and then where the Lord raises the dead. This is a part of the resurrection. This is why he said to Mary, to Martha, I am the resurrection. And if you believe, I can raise this person from the dead, I'll do it. And he says here, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Now there's a whole other sermon in that particular thing, but I wanted us to come to the understanding that this is the story. This is the story that the Lord has given us. This is our story. So we have an understanding that the Lord, can you imagine what Lazarus' story would have been? Can you imagine what the people that watched him come forth, and the people that went to the funeral, the people that went into the, put him in the tomb? Can you imagine what their story was, Martha and Mary's story, when they went out and they said, you know what, I'm not going to explain. How did it happen? Well, I don't know how it happened, but I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the powers that works in us. Lord, help us. So we can ask the Lord, give me faith to believe whatever it is that I need to believe. Have mercy on me. Because I've got a story to tell. And that story that I'm going to tell is a story of the good news of what Jesus has done for me. I don't have to elaborate. I'm not a preacher. I'm not any of those kinds of things. But I've got to tell my story, and no one can take that away from me. No one can take your story away from you. They can't say, well, you're lying. It's not true. Oh, I know it's true. They can say what they want to say. They can do what they want to do. But do you realize also that not everybody believed when they told the story? Not everybody believed that. All right, let's go a little farther here. Let's go to another story that I want us to have an understanding on, get a little bit from. You remember the man that was in the tombs cutting himself? He was a legion. He had many demons. You know, a lot of folks are like that today. But you know what? There's hope in Christ. And so I want to read scripture in Mark, the fifth chapter. Mark, the fifth chapter, and I want to read starting at the 15th verse, and it says, fifth chapter and 15th verse. We've got to kind of get used to preaching like this. It's not something we're used to, but the Lord's helping us. All right, Mark 5, verse 15. It says here, let's go a little higher, far closer up here. And it says, I'll give you the basic understanding. This was a man that the Lord came to, and he said, he was possessed, and he had been in the fourth verse says, and because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He was always in day and night in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off in this wonderful, here's his story. I don't know how he got to that particular point. I don't know what happened in his life that brought him to that particular point. But when he saw Jesus, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And the Lord said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he said, what is thy name? And he answered and he said, his name is Legion. So we know the story here that the Lord called him out of that. And then what happened is he said, if you're going to allow me to go out, let me to go into this herd of swine. They went into the herd of swine. They ran violently down the hill. Now, here's the thing that I wanted to get to the 25th chapter, 25th verse of this particular chapter. And I wanted the 15th verse, I'm sorry. And they come to Jesus, and they see him that was possessed with the devil, and that had the legion setting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of the coast. And when he had come into the ship, he that was possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, now here's the point. This man that had been in the tombs and no man could tame, that they tried to put him in chains and fetters and all these kinds of things, it didn't work. This is the man that the Lord delivered. He was naked. He was all these horrible, horrible things that we've seen. We've seen situations like that in our day. Maybe not to that degree, but we've seen situations like that in our day. Now, here is Jesus. He's saying, Lord, they saw him. The people that were around saw that Jesus, he was with Jesus. He was clothed and he was in his right mind. And then it was time for Jesus to go. And if Jesus had done that to me, you know what I would have wanted to do? I would have wanted to follow him too. And so the man that was possessed by the demons, he said, Lord, let me go with you. Let me go with you. Lord said, no, I don't want you to go with me. And he said in the 19th verse, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and has had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So this is a man that people knew. And the Lord says, no, that's not your job. That's not why I did. I don't want you to just come and follow me physically. I want you to go and tell the people what I've done for you. See, that's our job. That's our responsibility. All of our responsibility. Whatever it is that God has done for us, our job is to go and tell somebody else about it. Our job, that's preaching the gospel. It may not be preaching like what I'm doing here in this particular setting, but it's preaching the gospel. And every one of us have that great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Along with that, I want to bring out this point with the Great Commission. It's very important for us to understand that the Great Commission is tied directly to the resurrection. It is not two separate things. And the Lord gave this decree over here to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I want to read a scripture. I want to read, that would be in Mark, I believe it is. Let me find it here. Bear with me. Mark 16. Mark 16 and verse 14. Let's read that. Mark 16, verse 14. After which he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now, you see, you understand this particular passage of Scripture. He came to them. This is the appearance of Jesus Christ after the resurrection. And he's upbraiding them. He's admonishing the disciples because they couldn't believe. They didn't have it in their minds to believe that the Lord had done what Mary and the rest of them had told them he had done. And he said unto them, now all of this is tied together. I want us to understand that this is one passage of Scripture. And he upbraided them that they believed not which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So in other words, he says, tell the story. Tell the good news. Was that good news from Mary and Martha and Lazarus? Was it good news that the Lord raised them up? It was the gospel. It was the word of God. It was a story of somebody's life. And that's what the gospel are. A combination of stories of people's lives. The good news of what Jesus did. The blind man that came to the Lord. The blind man that said, I don't know what to tell you. You saying he a sinner, but all I know is I was blind, but now I see. That's a story. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That he had the responsibility to go and tell his friend. The legion, the man that was delivered from the demons, where the swines went violently down, that was delivered. This man went and told all of his family. He said, you go home. You go home. You have a sphere of influence. You have a group of people that I can't preach to. They'll never listen to me. They'll never come to church, but they'll come where you are. So I want you to understand that the Lord put this together. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So he said, then I don't know a lot more than believe. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Our responsibility is to tell the story. You have a story. You have something that the Lord has done for you. Your job, go home. Tell it to your friends. Tell it to your families. Live the life before them. They can't come against that. If they knew you were once a drug addict and you once lived a certain way, do you know how we say sometimes actions speak louder than words? Sometimes our preaching is not with words. Sometimes our preaching is we're a written epistle, the scripture says, known and read of men. Maybe in this setting, it's not appropriate for me to say anything. It's not appropriate for me to tell this person that you don't need to be smoking that joint. You don't need to be doing that. But what you can do is you can show them, I once was blind, but now I see. Well, how did it happen, man? I don't know. I gave my heart to the Lord and my life changed. And I'm a changed person. They see that. They want that. Every person in the world wants what we have. We've just got to tell the story. We've got to tell the story. May the Lord help us. Now, one of the things that I want to bring out before I bring this little discourse to an end, one of the things that I want to bring out is we're witnesses of the Lord. We're witnesses. We tell what we saw. A witness is a person that tells a firsthand experience. And so this story that must be told, the story of the resurrection of Christ, the story of what he's done for John and Paul. Can you imagine Paul's story on the road to Damascus? And all of a sudden he sees this bright light. And what did he tell when he went to Festus, when he went to all the other places that he went to? What did he tell? He told his story. He told his story. What's your story? What is it that the Lord has done for you? You don't have to be a great, wonderful orator. You can be shy. You can be a person that doesn't like to be in front of people. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what your personality is. You think that your personality is the only one that's like that? Well, Lord, I'm a little afraid to approach people. Live the life. That'll preach to them. Tell them about let them see the resurrected life. Let them see it. And when they see it, the Lord will bless them and do something for them as well. So may the Lord help it. It's not hearsay. The Lord won't allow us to say, well, you know, this is what my old brother so-and-so did, and this is what old sister so-and-so did. The Lord doesn't want that. That's good in its place, but what the Lord wants is that you have a personal experience. You come and experience him personally. You come and see, taste and see that the Lord is good. You come and get your sins forgiven. Now once they're forgiven, now you have the ability to go and tell somebody else about what God did for you. This is living history. This is story. This is the story. This is the story that's in the books of Jeremiah and John and Paul and Mary and Martha and Lazarus and all these individuals who we know about in the scripture. This is their story. And do you know what it is? It's the word of God. It's anointed as the word of God. And do you know what? Those stories live on. And not only that, but do you know what? Our stories live on too. And our stories become the word of God when it is anointed and inspired by the word of God. It becomes just as manifest and just as important to the people that are living in our day as it was in their day. So what the Lord requires of each one of us, each generation, we preach, we teach, we live our stories, and we tell those stories. And those stories, back in the 2,000 years ago, many of those stories became the word of God. And we can utilize it. We take Peter's words. We take his words and we talk about the promises of God. Those are words that were inspired by Peter. The other day, Sister Naomi sang a song that she had scribed, is what she said. The Lord had given her a song. And she said, you know what? It wasn't something that I wrote. I don't say that I wrote it. And I believe that this is a good way for us to get a hold of it. It wasn't something that I wrote. It's something that I scribed. The Lord spoke it to me and I wrote it down as he spoke it to me. And you know what we do, what it means to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Have the anointing is that the Lord speaks it to our hearts, and then we say it to the people. If you're telling your story, sometime the Lord wants you to tell it to somebody, and the Lord will give you the words to say. Do you know that that's just as much of an inspiration as what Paul wrote down here? You realize that that becomes, and I want you to understand me when I say this, that becomes God's word. That becomes the power of God's word. Because all you're doing is telling what he did for you. All Mary did. All Mary Magdalene did. All the other Mary did is they told what Jesus did. Remember the disciples that were walking down the road to Emmaus? And the Lord walked with them. He told them. They started telling him their story. And he started talking to them about it. And they said after a while, they came to the understanding that was Jesus. These are just stories. And I don't want to belittle the Word of God because I don't believe I can. I want us to understand. I'm trying to bring it down to our level where we can understand that the Word of God is just as relatable to us as it was to them. It's just as pertinent. It's a living history. It's a word of God that is written down, and it becomes just as effective when we speak it. There's one scripture that talks about that he made his word manifest through preaching. And so he tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's our job, all of our jobs. Our responsibility is to tell our story. You have a story. What's your story? Thank you for the courtesy of your attention. Let us bow and have a word of prayer. Bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we acknowledge the fact that we all have a story to tell of our encounter with you, of what you've done for us, how you've been faithful to us. And dear Lord, how you changed our life or how we responded in some kind of a way. It becomes part of the word of God. There are people that believed in the word of God and there are people that didn't believe. And Lord, they've all become a part of the living word. And Lord, we ask you that you have mercy on us and help us to understand that the most important thing that we can do is respond to your word, to have a clarity and an understanding of what you would have us to do, and then to tell the story. It's the most important story. He said, come and see, have that personal relationship, and then go and tell. May the Lord help us. We ask you that you do it. Bless us this Easter day. We thank you for the resurrected life of Christ, not just that Christ rose again, but Lord, that he gives us that resurrected life. How Paul said in one place, he said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. We ask you that you help us in every way. In Jesus' name we pray, and we give you the praise. Amen.